At Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's LoneStar Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big.
And welcome in to the Monday edition. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keezer, intern Robert here with you on this Monday morning. Hope everybody had a fantastic weekend. And boy, do we have a lot to get into today here on the program. Tennessee shows NC State who daddy is over the weekend, 51-10, the final score. Vanderbilt destroying Alcorn State over the weekend. So college football around here for the SEC programs went great over the weekend. Very good stuff. The NFL team, however, didn't go so hot. Started good, did not finish so well. We'll talk about it all day long here on the show. Take your thoughts. 615-737-1025 on our first reaction Monday of the season for the Tennessee Titans. Joe Rexroad, good morning. How we doing?
We're doing okay. And by the way, I mean, if we're going to go college football, looks okay around here. Pro football, it's a tough Monday. Nolensville Knights 138-0. I just wanted to, you know,
good high school times out there.
Luckily, too. Nick Keezer's trash talk at the end of the last show, you know, revealing, private conversations, did not come back to bite anyone.
No motivation.
Town of Nolensville was. Yeah. I was about to give up some phone numbers.
Yep.
On the dark web.
Yep.
Into certain people in the town of Nolensville.
Would have been beautiful. I did look. Like, I don't know, you know, the Packers playing Friday night, which don't even want to relive that experience.
Oh, boy.
But about an hour into the game.
We have a lot to get into.
I looked around and I was like, I wonder how Nolensville's doing or if Keezer has inspired the mighty Raiders of McGavick to come through. But it turns out Nolensville handled it fine. So, well to go.
Yes. Good shutout. And yeah, good job, fellas.
Keezer, how we doing?
Doing
well.
A lot
of bones to pick with you today.
I know you do.
You did that one? You tried to pull a fast one on us and pigskin pick 'em on Friday with an Eastern Kentucky, Western Kentucky pick 'em.
Yep.
When Western Kentucky was favored by 3 touchdowns. Uh-huh. How we doing?
I respect it.
Hey, I'm doing great, and I'm sticking by it. Look, I looked up that game. I really did not find a line for it. It was not on FanDuel for what it was worth, because that is where I went first, because that is our program thing that we always go to.
I don't believe you.
No, Nate ends up finding this line and then throws it out there on Twitter, and then you have your tirade about Jordan Love getting hurt, and it just didn't go over very well this weekend.
I didn't bring him up in that conversation. Yeah. Just happened to come up.
Well, you know.
We do need to talk about Jordan Love at some point.
We're going to. Don't worry. I was distraught Friday night, but we'll get into that a little bit later.
I know. It looked really bad, so. So you should feel okay right now.
I should.
Even though I know that this weekend coming up is, you know.
Hey, Robbie, welcome to Lambeau Field. Here's Malik Willis playing quarterback. All right. Jordan Love.
Let's do that. Looking forward to it.
Seriously, though, before we get into the Titans, I do want you to put on the record what you said during our extensive pre-show meeting.
Okay. If Malik Willis finds a way to win this game on Sunday, I will never say another bad word about Matt LaFleur again in my life.
Okay.
That's my promise to you all. If they win this game, I will not criticize Matt LaFleur again.
I hope you got that, Keezer.
We can revisit it at a later time.
Okay.
But
yes, because there'll be times.
Oh, there will be times. There's no doubt about that. The Titans lose 24-17 yesterday in Chicago in a game where things started off pretty well. You're up 17-0. The defense playing really well in that game, stifling Caleb Williams and that Chicago Bears offense. And frankly, that never really changed throughout the game. The defense played really well. Caleb Williams ended up with, you know, less than 100 yards passing in the game. So if you'd have told me that heading into the game, I was like, well, the Titans are going to win. And the Titans were in a good position to win, up 17-0. They're up 17-3 at the half. And then it just all spiraled out of control in the second half. The punt block disaster, so another huge mistake on special teams. And no Craig Aukerman to blame this time. And then with a 17-16 lead in the fourth quarter, quarterback's rolling to the left, has an opportunity to just take the sack, eat the play, go down, punt the ball, live to fight another day. And instead, he tries to throw it underhanded, kind of a shovel pass. You know, Brian Callahan said he was trying to get it out of bounds. Well, if that's what he was trying to do, it did not go well. And the Bears pick it off a pick six, and the Titans find themselves on the wrong end of a 24-17 loss in week one. Brutal. Brutal start to the season. And a nice reminder of what a heartbreak rooting for an NFL team could be.
Yeah, just a terrible loss. I mean, just a terrible, terrible loss and a terrible play. I saw that from Callahan. I mean, it looked to me like he was trying to get it to – who the heck was that out there again?
I can't remember. But it looked to me like he was trying to get it to the receiver as well.
But either way, I mean, yeah, like you just lofted it up there. It's just a play you can never, ever make. Look, it's a play – this is the thing, you know, it's a play. I mean, Levis didn't make a play like that all his rookie year, right? He made a few rookie plays last year. He didn't make a play like that.
He did not.
It's just a terrible play. And I don't know how the game ends up. I mean, it's 17-16, and you just don't know. You can't play out the game in a different scenario and say it definitely would have happened this way, this or that would have happened. But the bottom line is you're up 17-16. You're, like, around your own 40. You are winning the field position battle. Your defense is playing great. So you just take a sack there. I mean, you just take a sack there. And you understand the game situation. And he didn't. And that was just a crusher. I think Callahan used the word killer more than once in his presser about that play. That's exactly what it was. We go to TD. TD had some great ESPN stats info stuff last night. Bears first team in NFL history to win a game which they trailed by at least 17 and had fewer than 150 total yards. First team in NFL history.
Unbelievable.
Caleb, another one from TD and ESPN Stats Info. Caleb Williams averaged 3.2 yards per pass against the Titans. Second fewest by a first-round pick in the NFL debut since Burt Jones is the only one fewer. Burt Jones in 1973.
Jeez.
I was an infant. Burt Jones. I mean, it's like Caleb Williams was terrible yesterday.
Yes.
He was terrible. They were terrible.
Right.
The fact that they won that game – it can only happen with catastrophic mistakes. And we'll talk mostly about Levis, and that's fine. And I know where the Levis discussion is going. He was bad yesterday. He cost him the game. You shouldn't give up on him, but a lot of people can't do the two things true. We'll have that discussion all day. But the Titans special teams was a freaking debacle.
It deserves
more attention than it's going to get.
Well, and it wasn't just the punt block. The special teams as a whole was a debacle. They could not cover the punt. And I don't know if that was Stonehouse outkicking the coverage and them not being able to get down there quick enough, but they had a few explosive punt returns. Jaquan Jackson, I don't know what he was doing back there returning kicks, but, I mean, from the first one of the game, I mean, you've got Spears back there saying, hey, stay, stay, stay.
Yeah.
He decides to bring it out, gets tackled at the 15-yard line. And then, of course, I mean, the catastrophic play is the punt block on the special team side of things. So, just an atrocious day for Titans special teams yesterday. And then, of course, you know, the Will Levis mistake. You said it. I mean, it was just a great performance by the defense where you allow fewer than 150 yards of total offense from the Bears throughout the game, and you lose the game. There is not a scenario in the National Football League where your defense allows fewer than 150 total yards where you should lose. Not one scenario. And yet the Titans found a way to pull that off yesterday. Yeah. Crazy.
No, it really is. And so it's, yeah, we've talked about this game in the bigger picture of the season. We know that there's so much that happened in this first week of the NFL that will end up lying to us, right?
Like, it always does.
It always does. But I look, you know, the Titans' schedule and their situation and their limitations in some areas, man, that's a game you can't lose. You know, it's just a killer loss because, you know, now granted, one of the very tough games on the schedule, Green Bay Packers, maybe a little bit easier.
You're not factoring in the one-arm push-ups, but that is true.
We get the Malik Willis, Will Levis rematch from last camp. So possibly, unless the Packers do something. But still, like, that's just, man, it's just it is a very regrettable Sunday of football for the Tennessee Titans.
It's very regrettable Sunday of football. And look, you know, we're going to get obviously deep into the Levis part of this and the interception part of this today. I mean, there's no doubt about it. Before the interception, the offense in the second half was atrocious. I mean, go look at their drive chart in the second half. It was brutal. I mean, they didn't get anything done in the second half on the offensive side of the ball. They were at least able to run the ball. Like, I thought Tony Pollard came out of the gate in the game looking really good for them running the football. Obviously, he breaks loose on the big touchdown play to get things rolling there. You know, Levis had the touchdown pass to Okonkwo, which, by the way, really good catch from Chig Okonkwo. That was good to see in the end zone there.
Yeah.
But I thought Levis all day, beyond just the interceptions, was missing too many throws. I mean, he had one on the first drive that was just an out route, where if he hits it, it's first down. He missed that one. He missed Ridley a couple times down the field. He's just missing too many throws in the NFL that you can't miss. And you're not going to hit all of them. Like, you know, I think there are some people that are holding him to a standard of perfection, and you're not going to have that in the NFL. But you had way too many misses yesterday, and that was long before the interception. And then the interception is just the cherry on top of it in terms of the worst play of his career, and it came at just an awful time in a game where your defense is totally dominating on the other side of the ball.
Yeah, I mean, it's – no, there was a lot there beyond the mistake that was – it was a disappointing day. I mean, I think one of the biggest plays of the game – and I believe it was in the second quarter. I mean, Ridley's alone. It's a touchdown. It's a
touchdown.
And if you hit that shot, you know, it's at some point, again, with your defense dominating, like, it's just too much for them to overcome. I mean, maybe you had another punt block. Again, you can't change something and then know that everything else happens the same after that. But that's a big, big miss. And that was one of those. We talked about some of those in camp, some of the deep shots that, especially it seems like going left, going to his left, that kind of sail left out of bounds. You know, that was a big miss, but there were others too. He made some good throws. He had some good runs and took some shots, and still, again, I appreciate the make sure you get past the sticks, but you can still do that sometimes and get down, and boy, did he take hits.
Took some hits, got smoked right in the kidney. Was getting looked at on the sideline, by the way. They were doing some stuff with him. He plays the way he did yesterday, he's not going to last the whole year. I mean, I don't know what else to say. You keep playing that way, you're not going to last the whole year. Well, we'll take your thoughts on Will Levis and the Titans. 615-737-1025, our phone number. A brutal way to start the season for the Titans, blowing a 17-point lead yesterday in Chicago. More on that coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game.
Frustrating that the offensive rhythm never really showed up for any kind of sustained period of time.
Yeah, we had the one amazing, you know, 19-play drive, which is so cool to be able to just matriculate the ball down the field and get that done. So we wanted to let that, you know, carry over into the second half, and it definitely didn't. So we just got to be more efficient on first and second down just so we can actually string some drives together and develop and feel that rhythm.
As Will Levis after the game yesterday, nice shout out to Hank Stram there with the matriculate the ball down the field.
It was a 14-play drive, not a 19-play drive, but whatever. Great quote.
19-play drive's a long drive.
It is.
In the NFL.
That was 14 for 73, 8 minutes and 23 off the clock. At that point, they had two really good drives the first half, running the ball, physical. They looked good. They looked good for a half of football.
They did. They did.
But by the, you know, we'll get back into Will. But I just want to say, get ready, okay? I don't think Anderson works. Anderson, but Colt Anderson. I mean, people need to start yelling the name because, you know, Craig. I'm becoming a Craig Aukerman truther here. You know, Craig Aukerman was not a great special teams coordinator, but my God, did he hear a lot of Colt Anderson?
Not a good start for Colt Anderson.
Let the name be known.
I mean, Stonehouse at some point is going to get back there and be like, am I about to die every time I take a snap on one of these punts? Like,
this could be the greatest punter in history.
Well, you know, he got hit on that play. Oh, like, he went down, and my first thought was, oh, no, not again. And he got up. And he got up and started walking off. I was like, okay, I think he's okay. But the guy is taking a lot of contact in a position where you should not be getting hit all that much.
Seriously. And what is up with this franchise trying to kill punters?
I don't get it. Like it's,
I mean, Brett Kern did something to Vrabel. I still think that has to be true based on that stupid fake punt or fake field goal or whatever they did against Tampa Bay. Hey, Devin White, here you go.
Brett Kern seeing Devin White in his nightmares.
And now this poor kid who could be the greatest punter of all time.
Yeah.
Let's keep smashing into his legs.
Getting eviscerated every time he drops back there. Just brutal. I mean, look, it seems like forever ago because in some ways it was. But that is two straight games for him that have counted that he has gotten the punt blocked. I mean, he got obviously destroyed in that Indianapolis game. He's been out ever since. And now in the next regular season game he plays, same thing almost happens.
Welcome back.
Yep.
Like, it should not be. How many teams go through a season in the NFL, this has to be findable, and never have a punt blocked?
I mean, I would think most
teams,
of them.
Most years.
Yeah.
I mean, what's going on
around here?
Yeah, it's an all new crew. So, where is Aukerman, by the way?
I don't know. Does he have a job?
I'm gonna find out.
You find out.
Someone tell me where's Craig Aukerman.
Greg, if you're listening, text in on our text.
Shout out to Craig Aukerman.
Driven by Wilson County. Levis yesterday. You know, Joe, one thing that, you know, I've been harping on all offseason, I know you've been harping on it as well, that we're looking for with Will Levis. Yes, there's a numerical part of this from a statistical standpoint that certainly has value. I don't think it tells you everything, but it has value. But, you know, how do you perform in big moments? When you need a drive, when you're either up late in the game, down late in the game, whatever the case may be, what do you do with it? And quite frankly, you got the chance for both of those yesterday. And when they were up, can you provide some cushion for your defense? When you were down after he threw the catastrophic interception, also did not go well then for Will Levis and the Titans. But the two main things that I've been harping on the whole time with him have been, what's your decision-making look like? What does your accuracy look like? Well, both of those left a lot to be desired yesterday on the Will Levis front, which is discouraging to see in game one. Now, as you said, we've already started to get it. And I understand it. I knew it was going to happen today. We're going to get a whole lot of people today saying, well, he's trash. He is not a franchise quarterback. It's game one of 17. It's a long evaluation that we're getting ready to watch here. And some of you may not like that, but that's what it's going to be this year. Like, this is going to be a year-long evaluation of Will Levis to see where he's at the end of it. And I by no means am ready to throw in the towel and give up on him, like I know some of you probably are today. But it is not a good start on the accuracy and decision-making front from Will Levis in game one.
No. And again, this is where I think it's worth remembering that last year Will Levis had good games, different offense, different everything, different head coach, kind of coming in on the fly. Worse offensive line situation, although we need to get into that too, because, boy, in the second half, did that look bad again? Did that look familiar?
Yes, it did.
And it's not excusing, again, the one decision he made was just, it's just, you can't do it. I mean, it's just it's a game-losing decision, right? But, you know, he was under siege in that second half. So you have to remember that he has played well. Also, you know, like yesterday was the first, you know, glimpse of him in this offense, but also it was the first glimpse of Brian Callahan as a head coach and the play call and all that.
Yep.
I don't know from a play calling perspective that I would come away with any big takeaways. I mean, I thought they had some good stuff. Those touchdown drives I thought were really well kind of put together, kept them off balance. Nothing worked in the second half.
No.
I mean, that's a big thing, right? Whenever this is overplayed, but everybody says it, and there's some truth to it. The halftime adjustments. Halftime. I mean, you go in there for like enough time to have an orange slice and like say three words and go to the bathroom and come out. But in the second half, the Bears completely out-schemed, out-everythinged, out-coached, out-played the Titans on that side of the ball.
Yeah.
So let's keep that in mind too. It's not all on Will Levis. Yeah, there's a lot of, he's clearly not the guy, and it's just, you know, it's just not even close to the point of saying that right now.
Well, and look, he may not end up being the guy, but I think determining that today after week one is a colossal mistake, if that's the way you're trying to approach things. There's, It's a horrible start. There's no doubt about that. And again, it's beyond the interception, because I thought he was bad pretty much from the jump yesterday, which is not what you want to see in week one. On the Callahan front, you know, we're going to hear a lot today about, you know, being too conservative with the play calling and not taking enough shots down the field. And I think there's some truth to that. I will say, I mean, they had Ridley open and deep twice for what would have been probably two touchdowns, one in the first half, and then there was one in the second half along the sideline where he just torches his guy and Levis throws it 3 yards out of bounds. Like, yes, they probably did not take enough shots further down the field, but they did draw up two where they got Ridley wide open and the quarterback just missed it. So is that on the play caller? I don't think so.
No, fair point for sure. Yeah. I mean, I got into it a little bit on Twitter yesterday with people saying, like, you know, the Levis play, like, you know, Callahan didn't let him play in the second half. And it's like, I don't know, man. I mean, look, the big thing that they struggled with figuring out how to protect him in the second half.
They did.
I didn't know that
Daryl Taylor was going to turn into such a pass rushing force for the Bears.
What a Vols weekend. For, you know, one of the most down bad fan combinations right now has to be the Kentucky/Titans fan.
Did not go well.
If you're a Kentucky/Titans fan, I know we have some listening. Boy, South Carolina, your boy Beamer comes in there and just punch in the mouth.
What a coach.
Steals game day. By the way, game day was going to Kentucky, Georgia, and they're like, no, okay, we'll go to South Carolina instead. Just, yeah. Beamer goes, no, we'll take game day too and take your soul. And then you have this. But the Vols Titans fan, first of all, their team, we'll get into that later, holy crap, did they look good on defense. But also, they now have the whole Levis thing to revisit. And yeah. And Daryl Taylor is apparently now a pass-rushing beast.
Von
who's
Miller
crushing
out there, yeah.
I mean, that play, the absolute pantsing on Latham on that play with a strip sack.
Yeah.
Ooh, cannot happen. Cannot happen.
No.
So this offensive line was as much a tale of two halves thing yesterday as anything.
No doubt about it. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Adam in Portland. Adam, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Dude, I'm not going to write him off because I know a lot of people will. What I will do is say I'm not defending him anymore. That ended yesterday. Like, I've been the biggest Levis apologist. I've been the biggest, like, he's a dog, he's this, he's that, he's awesome. Dude, the Mayo commercial is no longer funny. Like, none of that. And it's not just a stupid – like, that's the dumbest play I've ever seen. Like, from a quarterback to be able to run that – like, that should go down as an all-time jester quarterback play where he slings the ball like that. What a gimme softball, dude. Like, that was the easiest thing for a corner. He had to be thinking, this dumb quarterback, like, while he's thinking about his touchdown dance on the way to pick six. You know, like, that was the – worst pass I've ever seen. But it's not just that. It's what you just said, Robbie. Those deep balls were all inaccurate. If we go up 24-0 right there on that big ball to Ridley, and you've seen Ridley, dude, a couple of times you've seen Ridley in that game where he just looked disgusted, like, dude, you can't throw it to me. What is wrong with you? Like, am I too fast for you or whatever? He had to be thinking that, like, this dude, he was missing in so many areas. Like I said, I'm not giving up on him, but I saw too many things yesterday where I'm like, I'm not making excuses for him anymore. Like, he's a big boy. If he wants to go out and have fun, whatever, whatever. But I would suggest, instead of having so much fun off the field, that he put a little more effort into, you know, gameplay.
Okay, before you go, fun off the field, yeah, meaning what? Mayonnaise, like, commercial?
Like, any of that, Joe. Like, I understand. It's almost like, hey, I want to be the next big thing. And I get it. Like, these guys – Patrick Mahomes is in a million commercials. He's doing things, but this dude's not Patrick Mahomes. He hasn't earned any of that. You got to earn it first. He has earned zero. And so I know what he wants to be, but he's not there yet.
Thanks for calling, Adam. Appreciate it.
If someone wants to pay you to do a stupid mayonnaise commercial, then you've earned it. I would take the money.
Yeah, I mean, that part of it I don't really care about.
If he was at home doing nothing and watching TV as opposed to making money with the commercial, what would be the difference?
Right. I mean, I just think that's a little overboard there. Now, I will say, him and Ridley, it's concerning. Now, I'm going to put the majority of it on Levis yesterday. Ridley got open down the field a couple times, and he flat out missed him. There was also one play in the second half, and I can't remember if it was third or fourth quarter, but they clearly were not on the same page. Ridley kept running deep. Levis was expecting back shoulder throw. Yeah, and Ridley just was not on the same page there. So, for all this stuff that we talked about with those two in training camp of working things out and trying to get on the same page, they clearly still are not. And it's discouraging that it's taken this long for them two to get on the same page together.
Yeah, look, on that play, and that was a big play, it was a read of the coverage, and as soon as Ridley did not realize its back shoulder, Levis screamed at him. Yeah, that's one of those things that in the moment, like, you can look at that and say the Levis clearly thought he was – and from everything that you could see on the play, I think Levis was right and Ridley was wrong.
Yeah.
And by the way, on the very next play, they try – I think it was fourth down, right? Receiver screen, and Ridley totally misses his block and it gets blown up. So he had a rough day too. But you're right. Earlier, when if he's open and you can't hit him, I mean, he's still a weapon. They have to figure it out. But the whole – look, there were some things from camp that showed up yesterday. Offense struggling in general, but also just the Levis-Ridley thing not connecting. When you have a day when DeAndre Hopkins plays a little bit, and I don't even know if it was worth playing him yesterday.
Yeah.
And by the way, Taylor Lewan, newsbreaker, RIP.
Did not go well.
And also your Wolverines. Whew. But, you know, when you have a day where you're not really going to have Hopkins, it really shows up as an issue, right? I mean, like – as the season goes on, Hopkins will be, I'm pretty confident, will be a much bigger part of the offense. But you still, like, Ridley is paid to be receiver one, and that's got to get figured out. And they've had quite a bit of time here to do so. How much of it is chemistry yesterday? How much of it is Levis just missing throws? You know, probably some of both.
Well, the good news is you had Treylon Burks step in yesterday, and he had, one catch for 2 yards.
That's true.
All right. And he carried the ball too. He had 2 carries for 1 yard.
Mm.
3 total yards. 615-737-1025, our phone number. 615-737-1025. We'll have more on Will Levis and the Titans coming up next. A lot of your reaction to get to as well. We'll do that. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road. We are broadcasting live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership with a buzz. Is always about great service.
Sorry, just as we came back, there were, you know, the Levis play is right, playing out.
Just right over my head. That's
and,
good.
And that really nice, that's the only quibble I have with the defense is like the next play. Like, they've completely uncovered back on the 2-point conversion. Yeah. Like, I think that's it.
Yeah.
That's, other than that, man. Well, that defense deserves way better. Boy.
They look good.
They did.
Well, and really, there were a few plays on the defensive side where the pass rush just didn't get home, and Caleb Williams had forever back there to throw the ball, and they still didn't get open. And I was just like, golly, these guys
are
plastering.
Unless he's just bad.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
I mean, I thought Snead looked pretty good.
I will say he did. Snead looked good. Now – we talk about Levis missing some. Caleb missed a couple absolute
yesterday.
Homers. So, yeah. So, you know, the coverage wasn't perfect back there by any means. But overall, yeah, you have to be very impressed and encouraged by the defense.
Weston Clarksville says, game day yesterday made me want to go buy some PSLs to the new stadium. LOL.
I bet it did, Wes.
I'm sure the ticket office was just flooding with calls yesterday after that one. Sign me up for more of this. Yes, let's get more of that.
Well, yeah, it all is a very interesting situation with them and Levis. That's, you know, that's kind of like someone on here is like, you know, Rudolph needs to get a look. You know what? Every year, every NFL team wants to win for sure, and the Titans do. But that perish that thought.
Yes.
First of all, like, Levis is, you know, I think he's a better player than Rudolph. Second of all, like, this is what this season is largely. It is finding out and figuring it out and charting a course.
Well, it's charting a course. And look, I heard we're going to have Paul Kuharski on with us at 7:15. He hopped on his live stream yesterday after the game and was talking about this. You know, some people said, you know, the Titans would have won that game if Mason Rudolph was the quarterback. Maybe. They might have. I don't know.
It's possible.
It's possible that
but that's
that
not the point. Could've.
But the point is, like, you know what Mason Rudolph is, and you're not charting a course that leads to long term playoff Super Bowl success
with
Mason Rudolph as your quarterback. And look, the odds are that you're not doing that with Levis either. But you at least feel like he's got the chance, and you got to figure it out.
Right.
And I know it's hilarious to sit here and talk about that after the game that he had yesterday. But, again, it's 1 of 17 that we saw yesterday.
Right. The safe game manager, backup QB route. Yeah, that probably would have – Could have won yesterday, for sure. But yes.
I feel confident in saying Mason Rudolph would not have thrown that interception yesterday.
Yeah, I'm confident in saying most people would. You know, other than, as I pointed out to you yesterday, you know, Brett Favre would have made that play, but he also would have thrown for 350 and three touches and still won the game and then tried to steal from poor people. But, no, I mean, you're trying to find out what's going on with Levis, what Levis is, and if there is a – because I do think his ceiling is pretty high still.
Yeah.
But some people don't get close to their ceiling.
Well – one thing that's still a major concern to me, and look, we saw it at times last year, and I think last year it was easy to excuse it because the offensive line was so bad and he was under duress so often that you looked at his completion percentage and said, oh, 59%. That's not very good. But, I mean, go look at the conditions. We talked about that all offseason. Now, again, the conditions in the second half yesterday weren't great either with the offensive line. But the accuracy, just the misses that he has sometimes are mystifying a little bit. Like, you can't have those. And, again, you cannot hold quarterbacks to the standard of perfection. Look, I watched Aaron Rodgers play quarterback for a long time. Believe me, he missed some throws. So it's not like every ball is right on the bucket. Mahomes, believe it or not, will miss a throw every now and then. But you can't miss six of them in a game. You can't miss five of them in a game. And play high-level quarterback in the NFL. You just can't it cannot coexist that way. So that's the part of it to me with him where I look at it, I'm like, all right, that's still a thing. Is that going to get better? Like, how much better is that going to get as he moves forward? And I don't know the answer to that question.
No, I don't either. And that's probably as bad as that decision was yesterday. Like, I don't think that's going to become a consistent thing. Again, we saw Will Levis play 9 games last year?
9.
Yeah, you know, he didn't do a lot of that. I mean, I didn't even think he threw some picks last year, but I don't remember too many just egregious. Like the game in Knoxville, it was kind of egregious, but also he had no time to throw, and he was just trying to make something happen. Yeah. I didn't think he was an egregious decision maker last year. Yesterday was an egregious decision. It was terrible. But the bigger issue and question is what you're talking about is. Are you going to – because if you miss a handful – it's like Tannehill last year in the opener in New Orleans. He misses 2 touchdowns, you know, which was very weird to see from Tannehill.
It's a difference in the game.
But, yeah, that's the difference in the game. And, honestly, that was one of those games that kind of started things rolling toward Levis.
Well, and then there's the other part of this, and people are going to think I'm overreacting to this. But I was – when I saw him run the ball yesterday and – jump up in the air and take that shot to his back, I was disgusted because my first thought was, so you have learned nothing when it comes to the trying to get down and protect yourself. He had already picked up the first down at that point. There was no reason to continue trying to get more yards. Somebody's got to get it into his head. And look, I understand it. He's unbelievably competitive. I like that part about him. But if you play the way he played yesterday, where you're taking those shots that he took, you're not going to make it 17 games. You're just not. Josh Allen can probably do that. He's about it. Like, you're not lasting 17 games if you're playing that way.
And by the way, yeah, Josh Allen flips basically into the end zone yesterday. And by the way, they're looking for a possible broken hand today on him.
Yeah.
So, no, it's like a team loves that stuff. I think fans love that stuff. Like, if Levis – you know, if they hadn't blown it yesterday and he had even like a decent game, you know, then it's – I mean, that's one of those things that endears you to people. But, yeah, it's –
you know what endears me
sustainable.
More? It's being on the field. That's what endears me to a quarterback is being reliable, being on the field.
And, again, like getting – there was one play where I think he only gets the first down if he takes a hit.
Yes.
So it's like, okay.
Which that's – okay.
But you're right. There was the one especially where it's like you know you're past the sticks. You have to – I mean, you have to get down. Ron says, you know, he's over there trying to keep people fired up when he's the one making mistakes. Yeah, I mean, well, I think that, you know, I thought it was good from what, you know, the camera was picking up yesterday. Leadership, screaming at guys, trying to keep him into the game and stuff. When he made that mistake after that, it was what I saw was him talking to Callahan and just sort of like, I mean, he was as you would expect, just mortified.
Yeah,
I mean, he didn't. He wasn't screaming at guys then. He was more. Yeah, exactly. Mortified is exactly right.
615-737-1025, our phone number. More of your thoughts on the Titans' loss to Chicago yesterday in Week 1, the Will Levis interception, and we will get into the offensive line as well coming up next, which left a lot to be desired in the second half. All that coming up, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Paul Kuharski will join us at 7:15, live from the airport in Chicago, on his way back this morning.
So apparently he's texting us on the text line. Is this actually him, or is this someone just claiming to be Kuharski? He says Page High School. Is that is he talking about Aukerman?
There you go.
Aukerman is not in the NFL at this point, apparently. But is that what you're saying, Kuharski? Why don't you be clear? If you're going to waste the time, first of all, you can text either of us on our phones.
Hey, PK wants to utilize the text line. I'm here for it. We need more and more people utilizing the text line. 615-737-1025. By the way, a lot of texts coming in this morning. The YouTube chat is flowing, as we like to see. Appreciate you guys' participation this morning.
Yes, thought it might be a high participation day, and that it is. We got one who serves 82 says, hot take after Malik Willis beats Billy Jeans, Mason Rudolph will be Tannehill 2.0 and revitalize his career.
Oh, boy. What
that's
is
that's a,
don't you have just to revitalize first before you can revitalize?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. I mean,
Mason Rudolph should not be catching strays from me today on the program, but he is.
Now, granted, one time I said, what is Mason Rudolph third best, or let's go through it? I'm still taking strays for that.
You are.
Still. with people who don't know what happened, but whatever.
The offensive line yesterday. We've talked a lot about Levis. We're going to continue to talk about Levis throughout the show. I thought in the first half, Joe, particularly running the ball, I mean, it looked like something was developing pretty quickly in terms of, you know, the old saying around here that used to be run left. Well, they were running left yesterday, and it was going pretty well. Latham and Skoronski were mashing people. You know, on the touchdown run, it was funny because they did run left, and they pulled Radens around to the other side. He made the key block,
yes.
And Pollard sprung free and scored the touchdown.
Great
there.
Block by Radens.
It was, and it looked like, you know, run blocking was going pretty well. And, you know, the Titans made some plays in the passing game in the first half as well. And the switch just flipped in the second half. They couldn't block anybody. They couldn't run the ball. Obviously, some disastrous plays when they decided to drop back and pass. Overall, I thought on the offensive line front, just initial glance at it, and again, I didn't go through and do my PFF grades after it like we see, but just first blush, looked like a pretty rough day at times for J.C. Latham, particularly in pass protection.
Yeah, it did. It seemed like, first of all, the book on him, from what I could tell with what the Bears were doing, whoever was lined up there was definitely outside speed rush.
Yep.
It worked too often. There were times when he recovered and was able to run off the rusher, you know, behind Levis, which is great. And, again, I saw some of that in the first half. And, you know, the Daryl Taylor – I mean, Darryl Taylor, you know, good player at Tennessee, and he's a guy. He's like kind of like an Arden Key. You know, he throw him around, decent player. But, I mean, at times, especially on that one play, he looked like LT going. It's like,
yeah, that just can't happen.
Yeah, it's just that's a killer play. So, I just – and, yes, certainly, Radens going out and Rupsich coming in was tough for the offensive line. I know the broadcast said the Titans' best offensive lineman, Dylan Radens.
Yeah, I did hear that, and I was like, huh?
Not sure about that one.
Yeah.
But maybe PFF will back that up today. But it just I can't put my finger exactly on what happened in the second half, but it wasn't just one thing. Like, everything about the offense went down the tubes in the second half. So it's blocking. You look, play calling, Levis, I mean, execution, you know, there's some Ridley mistakes. It was just a terrible half of football for the offense.
Oh, it was. And, again, I mean, you have the game in about as good of a position as you can ask for heading into the half, right? I mean, you had the boneheaded Velus Jones play where he goes to field the kick and does something I've never seen before. Like, he doesn't catch it, and he basically just kicks it to you. and you're able to take advantage of that.
Another VFL, by the way.
Right. Up 17 to nothing, up 17 to 3 at the half. Like, you're in great position. And then it's like you just slammed your face repeatedly into a brick wall in the second half. And quite frankly, it felt like a tale that was a little bit too familiar and something we've seen time and time again around here. I get it. It's a new coaching staff. It's basically a new team. But it felt very familiar yesterday watching that team in the second half. They just could get nothing going offensively. They couldn't run the ball anymore. And again, the offensive line, it was a problem yesterday. Now, look, even on the play that we're talking about with Taylor, he smoked Latham. He got around the edge. Levis rolled out to his right. I mean, I would like to see him get rid of the ball a little bit quicker there. But again, like, you're expecting your left tackle to give you some more time than he got on that play.
Yeah. And again, they had some good moments, bad moments. Skronsky had a bad couple of reps in pass pro too.
Yep.
Again, you're going to have some of that. It just, in the second half, it was just suddenly a consistent thing. Whereas in the first half, again, on both of those drives, and part of it is running the ball, keeping off balance, running the football. Said it before the season. We'll say it again week after week. Like, it's a huge key to this team winning football games.
Yes.
And they can do it. And I think Pollard was one of the most positive things out of yesterday. It's pretty clear. Pollard is their starting running back, and Spears is their RB2.
Yeah.
And it should be. You know, there was a big play in this game where, you know, Levis read it right, got it to Spears. Great defensive play, but it's like, man, you got to get the 3 yards there. And he didn't do it. And he just – with Spears, it just feels like there's just always one guy who gets him or just not quite able to make that play. Pollard looked great.
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't believe Spears didn't pick up that first down on that. It was a great play. I think it was Edmonds that made that play for Chicago. So it's a great play by him, like, good tackle. But you got to find a way to get that extra yard there if you're Spears.
And that was, again, there was a Levis reading it right, getting it right where he needs to. It just didn't work out. Real quick, for Jeff from Spring Hill says, Levis needs more work on mechanics. The back foot throws on the Chig TD, for example. That's the thing. Levis has a huge arm. He can make those throws on the back foot. I thought the Chig TD, when he threw it, I was like, man, that's a little bit of a
– it wasn't a great throw.
But see, that's the thing. Then you watch the replay, and this is what the – and I forget who the analyst was for – who was Fox's crew yesterday?
Mark Sanchez and Adam Amin.
Okay, it was Sanchez.
Yeah.
Actually, when you watch it, he did put it only where Chig could catch it, right? He put it – so maybe it was exactly what you want to do. It did look –
it's a great catch by Chig.
Coming out of his hand, it looked a little bit like a fling it up and hope. But I don't know. But I don't disagree he needs to step into throws. He does have the kind of arm that can get the ball wherever he needs to without doing that.
He does. It's just – it's got to be a little bit more – automatic than it is right now in terms of the throws that are there. You got to find a way to hit. And again, like, the two deep ones to Ridley, like, I can live with you missing a deep ball every now and then, right? Like, it's obviously by percentage it's the hardest ball to complete because it's the furthest away from you. So
it's what the quarterbacks were doing yesterday in Chicago.
It's what the quarterbacks were doing yesterday in Chicago. So, like, you miss one, okay, but it wasn't just that. Like, he missed two deep balls to Ridley. He missed another one, and I can't remember. It may have been Boyd on the first drive where it's just an easy catch and throw. You make the play. It's a first down. The drive continues on, and you just miss it. Like, there's too many misses from him yesterday that you can't have. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Roy. Roy, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
What's up, guys? So, you know, watching that game yesterday was kind of like being a parent having a birthday party for your kid, and, you know, you got the balloons blowed up, the nice little wrap presents around, you got the cake in the middle, and you hired a clown, and the clown's supposed to just make the party great. In the first half, everything was going great, and then the party ends before it should. The clown's over there popping the balloons, eating the cake, the kids are crying, the clown's unwrapping the presents, and just making a mess, and it's just... you watch it unfold, and at the end of the party, you're so cleaning up the busted balloons and the kids' clothes. But on the bright side, we got the Jets. Not too optimistic about it. But all the toys that were unwrapped and ruined the party, you got to let the kids play with them. So what I'm saying is, hey, this party's behind you, but you still got the presents. Tighten up. We're going to do it.
Thank you, Roy. Appreciate it. Nice illustrative talent by Roy there.
I was wondering where that was going to go. Like
that was too.
Could have gone to a darker place, I guess. So we'll take that analogy.
Thank you, Roy.
It's like, what, the clown bring a bottle of whiskey? Like, what happened here with the clown? What'd the clown do? Who's the clown in this scenario?
Well, I have an idea. Maybe the quarterback.
Well, but, you know. Yeah, that's what a lot of people would probably say. There are many. I'm trying to think of a good analogy here. There are many. It's like the clown car, really. I mean, you pack some got people into the car, okay? Well, that's in the second half. It was a full clown car in the second half.
It was a full clown car in the second half. And again, like, I don't have any grand sweeping takeaways on the Brian Callahan front in terms of play calling after one game yesterday. But I will say this. Had this game happened with Todd Downing or Tim Kelly as the OC, people would be screaming about it today with the play calling in the second half there.
Yeah, that's true. I do think that just because of that play, which is clearly just the quarterback,
yes,
it's hard to – I mean, that's the game-losing play. Again, would they have won? I don't know. They would have punted from their own 40, and they would have put the Bears deep in their end, and they would lean on a defense that dominated the day.
Who knows if they got the punt off.
But well, yeah. There's that too, yes. So, but I mean, I'm with you. The second half, just overall, they had no answers. And that's the thing. It's like, so you're Brian Callahan, and look, there's so much of this in the NFL, right? It's like you're Brian Callahan, you're the head coach of the team. You are the play caller. You're the head coach of the offense. You got Denard Wilson's the head coach of the defense, right? Colt Anderson is the head coach of the special teams. If you're the head coach, you're sitting there like, what is happening with our kicking game today? Because right. It's killing us.
It was awful.
So you're the play caller. You know, you're trying to figure out what the Bears are doing and adjusting what they're doing. You lost your right guard. All this stuff is going on. And also, it's like you're losing the game because of special teams. Again, Levis made the game losing play, but special teams was horrific yesterday. One of the worst special teams games I've ever seen in the NFL.
It was really, really bad. 615-737-1025. Our phone number. More on the Titans' loss to Chicago coming up next, including something that I brought up earlier that I think bears repeating and us getting into a little bit deeper. We'll get into that. Paul Kuharski will be with us at 7:15. All that ahead, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game.
At Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and we're driving through the states in the Bluffmobile, and the best thing that we can do is play our favorite casino-style games on SpinQuest. They have over 1,000 games, including live dealer, blackjack, and craps, with tons of slots and unlimited options. You can get a $30 coin pack for just $10 for new users. Sign up today. Go to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.